Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We have got a show for you today. And I kind of hesitate on saying show, you know, because it is a church service, but it is Cowboy Church.
It is a program.
It is. It's Russ lives in Alvarado, Texas. I live in southeastern Oklahoma. We met on the rodeo circuit.
Right.
You guys were ministering. My ex-husband and I were ministering on the rodeo circuit. And Russ, you and Anna took us under your wing so many times and helped us to get into churches. I was just started to sing Christian music. And I just want to tell you in front of our audience today how much I appreciated all you guys did for us.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. I don't know what to say, Susie. No, you know, I think that all of us, and I've always challenged people to this, your situation was life-changing for me. Mm. And the reason it was life-changing for me is because we had church services at all these rodeos. We had 400 to 600 people for 3 years commit their life to Christ at the rodeos.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next year we come back, and the same people, and they weren't tied into any church.
Right.
They said, well, and they would get saved again the next year. Then the next year... I told the family, I said, we're inoculating these people against the gospel instead of the right gospel. And there's a horseshoe shoeing my horse that said, he says, I tell you, all you have to pay for is the last nail, but we're going to start with a penny for the first nail. And that's where the whole nail 32 concept came from. And when I saw that, I thought, I can change the world. I can change the world, and I can do it one person at a time. And I prayed and I said, God, you give me the people that I'm supposed to minister to and spend time with and help mature in the Lord, and we'll change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at Pendleton, and your husband came up to me and he said, you know, we've been having struggles in our marriage, and we decided to give God a chance for 6 months. Do you know any churches that let us minister to you? And I thought, there's no churches let a guy with a 6 month commitment minister, you know? And immediately, Susie, I felt God doing this to my heart, you know? And I said, you know, it takes a while to break into these churches. I said, but I tell you what, these churches that support us, if they see you, they're going to know that we're doing something. It'll help us.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you guys will get connected.
Right.
And so that's what we did. Every rodeo we go to, you guys would be at the same place. We'd meet at this church and you'd sing and then I'd preach. And because before that, I was having to do the singing too. You know, what a disaster that is. And so you'd sing and for about a year, almost every week, we met every week. And sometimes you and Anna would travel together, and sometimes
The guys would go together.
Uh-huh. And then every once in a while, it was just the whole families. We're just sorting and throwing kids and horses every direction and trying to rodeo. And about a year, you guys caught on, and all of a sudden you start getting phone calls. All these people wanting to start ministering.
Right.
You guys took off.
Right.
And it was because of that and that connection that we now get to do Cowboy Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Susie called me one day and says, I want you to think about this Cowboy Church thing. And thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You brought about this whole Cowboy Church thing that I never thought of. I never had any idea. I couldn't have imagined doing this. And to think that there are about 250,000 homes a week tuning into our Cowboy Church program because of that. And just knowing that God does that because you listen to him.
Yes.
Because that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking, just spend your time with one couple. And instead of 400, 500, 600 people raising their hands for salvation.
You influenced thousands upon thousands because you did invest in us.
Yeah.
You did. Because we went over, many, many years to many churches, many rodeos, many things that we did, and you were a part of that.
Well, we're so proud of what you did.
Right.
I mean, everywhere you went, we felt like, man, this is God's plan, and we got to be a part of it.
Right.
We're so privileged for what you've done. So
thank you.
Thank you
very much. Well, I guess this is kind of a little bit of a history of how this came about. One day, my ex-husband, Paul Luxinger, and I were thinking about, well, what about something on RFD TV? What about a cowboy church? And we got the guts up to call Jim Odle. And we asked him, how about this? And he said, well, I'll supply you a camera. Let's, go after it. And then mine and Paul's marriage fell apart. And then we were like, what are we going to do now? And Jim said, who do you think? And I said, I think Russ Weaver. And so that's why we're here today, folks. This is what we do. This is how it got started. There's different facets of rodeo, of cowboy church, at the rodeos, the fairs, different things like that. And then there's these brick and mortar cowboy churches. And then there's what you're watching right now, cowboy church on TV. So lots of people are being touched because they love the cowboy John Wayne, you know, the image of the cowboy.
Yeah.
And some people won't trust a slick-haired evangelist.
In skinny jeans, yeah.
You know.
That's
but
true.
But with a cowboy hat and boots and a buckle on, you know, if they preach the truth, they're more likely to watch. They're drawn to that. We get letters from places that are not Western, you know, Long Island, Rhode Island. We get all kinds of letters from different states, and yet people are drawn to the cowboy way. We're so glad that you joined us today. Sit back and relax, and let's go to cowboy church.
This song right here was birthed out of a saying that we used to say a lot when we were kids. When somebody would hurt us, and they would say mean things to us, we would say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have anybody of y'all said that before? I have. But how untrue is that? The words will hurt you for forever if you let them. And they hurt to the very quick of your being. And so I wrote this line down, this idea, and then I wrote a line that came to me. I said, they cut just like a knife, but leave no scar that you can see. In other words, it's way down on the deep part of you. And I emailed it to my sister Reba, and I said, do you think this is a good theme for a song? Do you think that maybe you could help me write this song? She said, she right back at me, she said, send it to Autumn. Now, Autumn is my brother's oldest daughter, and she's in Nashville. She's pursuing a career in country music, and she's also a writer. And she emailed me right back. She says, I love the idea. So her and Tim Matthews got together, and the three of us wrote this song. And it's about something that hurts us, and it leaves nothing on the outside that anybody could see, but it can destroy lives, especially young people who are being emotionally and verbally abused. So listen to the words of this song. Careful what you say to me, be careful where you go. My skin's as thick as skin can be, I learned to make it so. I don't doubt you care for me, I can see you do. But love can hide in shadows when your words turn black and blue. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Whatever has been haunting you, I wish I could set it free.
then no more would I see your tears or hear apologies. Just more words of broken glass that burn just like the sun. And I don't know if we can fix the damage that's been done. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Quiet now and peaceful here, but will it be for long? The stillness in your eyes is like the calm before the storm. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Oh, a part of you and me. A part of you and me.
Is going on in your life. Like I told you this morning right there in the church building, you've got a pastor here, and he's got a heart for you. Amen?
The world is looking for somebody who can stand up and live for God, who can become the kind of example that God wants them to be, who can fight the battles, and in the middle of all the issues, they can keep going forward and committing their life to Christ so that they can be effective. And the Bible says it like this: don't be conformed to the world. What does that mean? The world wants you to act a certain way. It wants you to talk a certain way. It wants you to do business a certain way. It wants you to have all the dishonesty a certain way. The world, conforming to the world, is not why God created you. Conforming to the world is the compromise that brings about death of your spiritual man and causes you to be deflated in your ability to stand up before sin. Well, this is pretty good stuff. And I'm telling you guys, the world right now, America right now, it needs to see men of God who claim to be Christians, who know how to commit their life to Christ and proclaim Christ as a Savior, and it begins to show in the way that they live. It begins to show up in their walk. It begins to show in their family, and their family sees the difference in those who serve God and those who don't serve God. Man, I'm telling you, I want all of us to commit our life to Christ and begin to incorporate the ifs of the Bible into our existence and into our living so that we can become the men and women of God who can stand up and change the world. I want to change the world. I want the world to know that Jesus Christ is a Savior who not only forgives and not only brings mercy, but He's also the Savior who can give you the ability to walk the way that He wants you to walk. God can do that. The whole reason Jesus was sent is so that we can begin the process. We can begin the process. The Bible says that God's coming back after people who've been tried and tested, who have come forth as pure gold. My mom used to say it like this. She said, the same fire
the exact same fire that burns up the wood purifies the gold. And what's going to determine whether you burn up or not is how pure your heart is, how pure your thoughts are, how God has come in, how God has changed you and developed you into the person that you're supposed to be. And your assistance with that, working with God, is going to take you to a place of holiness that when the fires come and the tests come, you won't be destroyed like the wood, but you will be turned and purified like the gold. And I want people to be purified like gold. I know this is a tough message, but the Bible has a lot to say about this tough message. It says, give what's owed to the people you owe it to. It says, give of your taxes to the government. Honor those who have authority over you. Well, that is pretty tough right now. We have such a split nation that no matter who is elected, somebody's not going to honor them, but God wants us to honor them whether or not we agree with their policies. Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, we'll reap if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. The Bible says we'll reap. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, oh, Russ, but you're back to salvation. No, I'm not. I'm talking about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because you're not going to be perfect in your walk with God. But if you fall, please fall forward. And when we fall, we stand up and we confess our sins. Father, I've sinned. Please forgive me. I want you to be living in my heart. I want it to be a sign and an example of what you want it to be. And the real cool thing about this, parents, I know most of you are probably perfect parents. I wasn't. But the really cool thing about it is this: your kids appreciate you more if you be honest with them and say, you know what, I failed here. I messed up here. And because of that, I want to apologize to you. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better mom. And if you'll hang with me, we're going to get this thing right, because it's a process. And your kids need to know that it is a process, because if they don't know it's a process, when they give their heart to Christ and they fail, they're going to give up. I can't do it. I'm not like my mom and dad, who are completely perfect. But if they see you as honest, if they see you as authentic and striving towards the land that God wants us to live, you begin to make a difference in your home, because the first place you need to change is yourself. The second place you need to change is the environment of your home. Men, you need to be the spiritual leaders of your family, because when you are, over 90% of the time, the kids will follow in the footsteps of dad and follow Christ. And when they don't, 17% of them is all that will follow Christ. And without you dads being an example before God, the difficult truth of the matter is this: if we don't, fathers, if we don't become the fathers we're supposed to be, we're actually sending a majority of our kids into a hot hell, and it's your fault. Well, it's gotten a little tough today, hasn't it? But the truth of the matter is, men, God wants you to be men. He wants you to be men who are full of God. He wants you to be men who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be men who can stand up and say, this is right and this is not right, with a compassion and care that you don't brutalize your kids. God wants you to be men of God. Let's look at some other statements. It says, if you have faith. I'm going to do a little lesson on faith, because I think it's really important. If you have faith, you can ask anything in my name and I'll ask it. If you have faith, your prayers will be answered. But this is the understanding of faith. Faith is not the first in a progressive step. It's not the first step in that progression. It's in their little ways, but the first step in the progression of really understanding faith is the word faithful. See, in the original language, the word faithful is a foundational word. And if faithful is a foundational word, it's kind of like in our language, faith is a foundational word, and the F-U-L is a suffix on the end. And we always think that faithful comes from faith, but it's backwards. In the original language, the faithful is the root word. And faithfulness is what happens to begin to develop faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that hearing by the Word of God is because faithful people have looked at the Word of God, understood the Word of God, and understand how God thinks and know what the Bible says about it. And it takes a faithful man to begin to understand those concepts and precepts. And when a man becomes faithful, what it does, it gives God a chance to speak into a person's life. And this is what faith is. When God speaks into a person's life and man hears it, then when he begins to operate out of what God speaks, out of obedience to who God is, that is faith. The faithfulness has already been established because of our works. And that's what's so important here. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What God has planned for you, what God intended when he created you. That's the will of God. And man is in a search to find out why in the world God created him. And when we do, when we find that out, that is, as far as God's concerned, that is the success factor that he wants for each of you. And it's kind of a progressive step. It starts out with being faithful. It secondly happens when God begins to speak and we have something to verify it with the Word of God. And we have something to stand on, which that is called faith. And it's through that faith that God begins to direct our life and direct our paths. And we actually discover why in the world God created us. There are a lot of ifs to get from salvation to finding out exactly who we are in Christ and why God created us. And when we find that, that's God's word for success. I want you to be successful. What will set you free? The truth. What do you mean by that? It's an encounter with God. He begins to set you free from all the things that were involved in your life, from the addictive behavior to the sinful ways that you progressed and the ideas that you had and the thoughts you think about. You begin to purify all of that. And you begin to purify your walk before God in accordance with the Word of God. And when you do, you develop this intimate connection with God himself, and God begins to speak to your heart and direct your path. And if the big hinge, if you remain faithful, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free of what? Free of the sinful man. And it happens on a daily basis. Paul said it like this. Paul may be one of the most righteous men we've ever had on earth. And he said this, he says, I die daily. Every day I have to wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do, I have to put this old carnal nature to death and not be ruled and directed and guided by my carnal, sinful nature, but be inspired and be connected through the power of God to Jesus Christ and to God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He begins to take out all the things that are influential in this fleshly man and begins to learn that the most influential influence that I need to listen to is the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free. So it ends up like this. It's me participating, me serving, me obeying, me following versus me taking, me needing to be served, disobedient, and straying at every chance. God wants us to be followers of Christ. God wants you to aim at perfect. God bless you, and I'll see you again next week.